We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have him back on, Nick Agar-Johnson. Nick is a host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and he's an editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and he's a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. On the program, we recap the 2023 NBA All-Star Weekend. Nick is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
It's the Marketer's Report. This week, Patrizia Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on the difficult task of building and retaining consumer trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent. The best thing for us to do is to build a relationship with our consumers. And if those consumers have a relationship with the DJs that are on air, then we want to build on that. House of the Dragon, which was one of our most successful, if not the most successful campaign we've ever done for a show, audio was a core part of that.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. Not just a media company, iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Benedict Mathurin, who's been
ripped off. He's gotta be.
The only undrafted player in this entire tournament. Grand Theft Alvarado is a game winner.
Goodness.
Wow. What a finish. One more look. Mathurin, back to Alvarado.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time now to announce the MVP of the Jordan Rising Stars game. None other than Jose Alvarado.
I mean, it was, you know, the confidence that these boys behind me gave me, and, you know, they were rolling with me the whole game, you know, just come out here and play and enjoy this atmosphere, you know. We had an all-star weekend, and we enjoying it, so I can't complain. And, you know, D-Mitch owed me a dinner. He told me if I make that last shot, he owed me a dinner. So that's what I really wanted right there, a dinner.
Indeed, he did get the dinner during this past All-Star weekend. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, and Turner Sports TNT, and that was New Orleans Pelicans guard Jose Alvarado hitting the game-winning shot and giving comments as he was able to, well, he won the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge at the 2023 NBA All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City, Utah. Of course, Jose was just some of the many highlights that had taken place at this All-Star Weekend that wrapped up in Salt Lake City, Utah for the year of 2023. To talk more about the NBA All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City, we got to welcome him back to the program, a man who has never lost for words. He is the editor-in-chief and writer for NBA Deep Dives, and he's also, for No Ceilings NBA, and he's also a host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and he's a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Let's welcome him back, Nick Agar-Johnson. Hey, Nick, welcome back, my man.
Ed, thank you so much for having me back. Always good to talk with you. And, yeah, it was a really interesting All-Star weekend. Certainly Jose Alvarado was one of the stars of the show, but there were a lot of stars shining in Utah on All-Star weekend. So happy to come back on the program and talk about it with you.
As always, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And you're absolutely right about Jose and the many stars that we'll discuss during this NBA All-Star weekend that passed in Salt Lake City. Let's start off with the Rising Stars Challenge. So Jose Alvarado is the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge as Team Powell would win the Rising Stars Challenge. Aside from Jose, if you want to add any more information about Jose, what were some of the things that caught your eye about him during the Rising Stars Challenge?
Yeah, so, I mean, Jose was huge for Team Powell in that first game. You know, he put up 13 points in that one, which, you know, helped lead them to that championship game. And then, you know, he had definitely the biggest moment of the Rising Stars Challenge when he hit the game-deciding three-pointer in the finals to win it for Team Powell. So, you know, he was someone who, you know, definitely is always going to put in the effort on the defensive end. But, you know, he put up a lot of points in this one, and that really helped carry Team Powell to that championship title. So it was a great night for Jose Alvarado, and he was impressive in both of the games that he played in the Rising Stars Challenge.
Rightfully so. And are there any more players or anything that caught your eye that you want to mention that happened during the Rising Stars Challenge?
I mean, I am calling in from Sacramento, California, so I do, of course, have to mention that Keegan Murray hit a game winner for Team Powell in that first game of the Rising Stars Challenge. So, you know, it was a good night for Keegan. You know, the rest of the Sacramento Kings showing up at All-Star Weekend didn't quite do as well as he did, but, you know, he didn't have the highest scoring game, but he did hit the game winner in that first one. And then the other player to point out, Quentin Grimes really helped keep his team in it for that, you know, championship semifinal and the championship final game. He was someone who, you know, if his team had ended up pulling out the win, that he probably would have been the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge, but instead it was Jose Alvarado's night, and he ended up winning it for his squad.
Rightfully so. So Team Powell, which was, of course, a member of that team, Andrew Nembhard from the Indiana Pacers, Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic, Scottie Barnes from the Toronto Raptors, Jaden Ivey from the Detroit Pistons, Benedict Mathurin from the Indiana Pacers. You mentioned his name earlier, Nick. Keegan Murray from the Sacramento Kings. And, of course, the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge, Jose Alvarado from the New Orleans Pelicans, as Team Powell was the winner of the Rising Stars Challenge. Also big during the All-Star weekend in Salt Lake City was the Skills Challenge, and we had the trio of the Utah Jazz. Let's have a listen.
He's having a career year with the Jazz, and here he goes, trying to finish up. And gets it to go, and now here's Walker. Walker Kessler.
There you go, Walker. Oh, he's going to pick it up.
He's getting closer to you here.
That little teardrop's giving people a fit.
Hey, big fella.
Shot
was good. They toast.
No chance.
Yeah.
No chance.
Here we go. Tower's over.
He's going to have to move.
What is this?
Yeah, but this
come on, Tyler.
Oh, look at this.
Another
one. Oh, yeah, but if he knocks the first one, he can go.
If he makes the first
one, it's over.
Yep.
He had to make that first one to give him a chance. He took off with one bar left.
He did. Halfway through.
This would be right up Team Jazz Alley right here.
And they don't have to move as much. So JC can be
there. Yeah, there you go. Got to be a bounce back calling in the middle.
Yeah, Sexton is nailing all of his.
There's got to be a bounce back calling in the middle. JC ain't made a bounce back here yet.
Jordan Clarkson, Walker Kessler, and Colin Sexton.
There it is. Oh, there it is. That was a double, too. Here they come. They come. Oh, yeah. 88. Oh, they took the lead.
Yes.
This is nice.
Oh, they got another one. And they'll finish with 88.
They didn't nice. Get
inside the buzzer, but 88 is a good score.
Okay.
Just one.
All right.
Got to get more than 8 points.
They'll get more than 8. JC will hit this. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. Actually, JC is killing them right now. There we go. Colin with 7 by himself.
That's 7. This is it. Yeah, they got this.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they got this, though.
We'll see the winner here.
Bar was set so low.
Clarkson.
JC gets a participation.
Sexton.
If Team Jazz ends up winning this,
Jordan needs to give his cut of this.
That's one.
And give it to Colin and Walker.
Yeah, JC, you got to pass by that.
Well, I think I called this, people.
Yep. I think I called this.
You did call this. Well, they got 13.
13.
It feels good, especially to do it in front of the home team. And we got a little advantage from the crowd. We appreciate y'all.
For sure. Man, we got a lot of nerves going on, but, you know, we knew we had to do it for our Jazz crowd here. So, at the end, we got the win. Go Jazz.
Blessings. Do it for Utah, man. Appreciate everybody showing love. Y'all already know. Let's keep putting on for the city and represent. Love.
All right, that audio is courtesy of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, Turner Sports, and TNT. And you heard that audio right there. That was the trio of the Utah Jazz, Team Jazz, winning the skills challenge. Clarkson, Walker Kessler, and Colin Sexton. All right, Nick, let's get back to you. Give me your thoughts on Team Jazz winning the skills challenge.
So my other All-Star Weekend predictions that I made on the program on Friday were not exactly accurate, but I did get this one right, so I was happy about that one. Yeah, it was interesting because it looked like the Jazz weren't really going for it in the team relay to start the skills challenge. Jordan Clarkson started for the Jazz, and he basically was walking through a lot of the court, so it didn't seem like in that first challenge they were really going to gun for it. But, you know, they ended up having a really strong close to the passing section of the skills challenge, and then they won it in the team shooting section with Walker Kessler, of all people, hitting the corner three-pointer. So, you know, it ended up working out really well for the Jazz. I was surprised that they ended up carrying it after they sort of started really slowly in that team relay. But, I mean, their shooting and their passing carried the day for them in the skills challenge.
All right, I want to stay with the skills challenge for a moment. Nick, I'm pretty sure you share this same sentiment. I was really disappointed with Team Rooks. I really thought it would have been a better effort. That was the team of Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic, Jaden Ivey from the Detroit Pistons, and Jabari Smith Jr. from the Houston Rockets. What were your thoughts on Team Rooks?
So it's kind of the opposite of my thoughts on Team Jazz, honestly, because in that team relay, Team Rooks actually won that relay. They were the ones who, you know, went through the course the fastest. So, you know, I thought they were really going to be going for it after that first round, and yet they ended up being last in the passing challenge, and then they just could not buy a basket in the shooting portion of the challenge. And, you know, it's certainly a concerning moment for Paolo Banchero, given that he's been shooting 4% from three-point range during the month of February, that he was still ice cold in the, you know, in the shooting challenge, as well as Jabari Smith Jr., who has, you know, struggled with his shot all season. So, you know, it's an incredibly small sample size in the shooting of the shooting portion of the skills challenge. And, you know, I don't want to knock those guys really or, you know, project out beyond that, but I'm with you. It was a really disappointing showing for them. And it was particularly disappointing when they, you know, cleared the relay portion of the skills challenge pretty clearly.
Okay, and then I know you mentioned earlier that you were rooting for the Antetokounmpos in the Skills Challenge, knowing that you have brothers. Now, Giannis was not involved in the Skills Challenge due to an injury, so his replacement was Drew Holiday. So any words you may have about the performance of Team Antetokounmpo?
Well, if anyone was going to replace Giannis, it makes a ton of sense for someone else with two brothers in the NBA in Drew Holiday to be the third player on Team Antetokounmpo. Obviously, of course, he was there for All-Star Weekend anyway and was, you know, scheduled to play in the game on Sunday night. I mean, it was, you know, it was solid showing for them. I mean, they were second in the passing challenge. They were second in the shooting challenge. They were, I think, ended up being second in the team relay as well. So, you know, they did all right. They had a decent-ish performance, but, you know, again, they also went kind of cold as a team during the shooting challenge, which, you know, was a huge part of why the Team Jazz ended up taking the Skills Challenge, but it was a solid showing for them. I mean, you know, nothing particularly special. They didn't win any of the events, but they also definitely, you know, had solid performances in all three events, which was certainly not true for either Team Jazz in the first event or Team Rooks in the shooting challenge.
All right, and that takes care of the Skills Challenge as the trio of Team Jazz, led by Jordan Clarkson, Walker Kessler, and Colin Sexton of the Utah Jazz, that trio would win the Skills Challenge. All right, one of my favorite things about the NBA All-Star Weekend is the three-point contest. We had a really good one as Dame Dalla, Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers would go on to win the three-point contest. Here's Damian on his last run.
They do. As is Dame, by the way.
Yes, as is Dame.
Into the All-Star break, Dame Lillard, the fourth leading scorer in the NBA. And here he goes, firing away. Part of that 75th anniversary team named last year in NBA history.
And again, it's not necessarily how you start, but you want to start to find a rhythm. And here we think this is too close for Dame's spot.
Oh, he got it. One of those.
He got it.
Yeah, I feel like he's about to go right past 25.
And here comes his money rack.
Yep. Right this side of the court.
Wow,
got it.
Yeah. So that's 6 points alone from the starting range. This is his money rack. He's got to make up right here. Here he goes.
25 okay. Is the one to beat.
Ooh. All right.
21.
Some pressure here now.
Here we go.
Pressure here.
Here we go. 23.
Need the money ball.
He needs
the money ball.
And
he got it. Hey, now.
He knocked.
Oh. Hey, Dallas.
He knocked out a former champ in Buddy Hield.
Your chances just dropped to 50%.
It surely did. It surely did.
No longer 67.
Look at him. He made his last four shots. We got that one to go, then the story range ball.
So 6 points alone on those two shots.
Yeah,
huge.
Think about that.
Huge.
I mean, it makes it that much more special. You know, I did it two times before. They say the third time's the charm, and I'm happy that it happened here. So it's a perfect situation. I'm happy I could do it in my home coming back here to Utah. I think all the best shooters in the history of our game, most of them have one of these. And to, like I said, to be in this competition a few times and not have one, I just wanted to get it done at least one time. So I'm happy I got it. Now I can retire from it.
All right, that audio courtesy again of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, Turner Sports, and TNT. So Portland Trailblazers guard, currently one of the best in the NBA, Dame Dalla, Damian Lillard, winning the three-point contest at the NBA All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City. All right, Nick, give me your thoughts on Damian winning the three-point contest.
I'm so happy that he ended up winning this three-point contest. You know, it was clear from the interview that he gave afterwards that you just played the clip of that it really meant a lot to him to, you know, sort of solidify himself as one of the greatest three-point shooters we've seen in the history of the NBA. You know, it clearly meant a lot to him to have one of these three-point contest championships in his trophy case. So, I'm very happy that he managed to carry the day with a really strong final round. And, you know, he said he's retiring from the contest, which, you know, on the one hand is too bad because it's always fun to have Damian Lillard in the contest. But, you know, again, really happy for him, you know, one of the greatest shooters that the game has ever seen. And clearly it meant a lot to him to solidify his resume with this three-point shooting contest championship.
I want to stage this with this contest for a moment. You mentioned his name the last time we spoke. Tyrese Haliburton, former member of the Sacramento Kings, now currently playing for the Indiana Pacers. He was in the final with Damian. Also, we had in the final as well his teammate Buddy Hield. And we also had some other contestants in the three-point contest. Lauri Markkanen, Jason Tatum, Tyler Hero, Julius Randle, and, of course, Sacramento King himself, Kevin Huerter. Any thoughts you have on the other contestants in the three-point contest?
So, yeah, starting with Tyrese, I was a bit worried that his release might make it so that the three-point contest wouldn't be the sort of contest for him, and I was completely wrong about that. He blew the competition out of the water in the first round. He put up 31 points in that first round. That was the highest score that anyone put up in any round all night, so really impressive performance for him. Unfortunately, he didn't do quite as well in the finals, and then Buddy Hield, also a former Sacramento King, also a former New Orleans Pelican, you know, he was my pick to win it just because he'd won it before in 2020 with the Sacramento Kings. And, you know, he ended up finishing second, so pretty solid showing for him, but didn't end up taking it, of course, as Damian Lillard ended up taking the trophy home. And then, you know, it was unfortunate for Kevin Huerter that he really struggled in the three-point contest. Certainly did not have his best night, but, you know, hopefully he will be able to get another chance at it because he is one of the premier shooters in the league. And, you know, it would be really nice to have him get another shot at this after a somewhat disappointing performance for him. But, I mean, overall, it was an incredibly fun contest. You know, there were some awesome scores in the first round. And then, of course, we got the finals with, you know, Damian Lillard just eclipsing Buddy Hield to take that title home. It was a really fun three-point contest. The three-point contest is always fun. It's been, you know, one of the highlights of All-Star Weekend for a decade plus running now. And, you know, it was unfortunate for Kevin Huerter. You know, Jason Tatum, who I'm sure we will talk about in just a little bit, you know, was the guy who ended up just barely missing the finals. But overall, it was a great run of performances. And again, just really happy that Damian Lillard ended up taking this one home.
Rightfully so. I want to stay with the three-point contest again. I don't know if you caught this quote, but Draymond Green was one of the commentators for the NBA All-Star Saturday festivities. And he said during the three-point contest, he said that Julius Randle from the New York Knicks had no business being in the three-point contest. Do you agree with that, or do you think Julius had every right to be in this year's three-point contest?
First of all, I completely disagree. He had every right to be in the three-point contest. However, I do think that there were other players who might have made more sense for the three-point contest. I mean, you know, I'm obviously biased here, but Keegan Murray is shooting 41% from three-point range, and he's already broken the Kings rookie record for three-pointers in February. You know, I think he would have made a ton of sense as an addition. And, you know, there were other players who were, you know, in the All-Star game itself who weren't part of the three-point contest who I think might have made a bit more sense there. But honestly, Draymond Green, of all people, who lost an All-Star game three-point shooting contest to Kevin Hart, shouldn't be telling anybody else that they shouldn't be participating in the three-point contest. So, you know, I think that there might have been better selections than Julius Randle, but, you know, this is his second All-Star game. He's, you know, really solidified himself as a solid three-point shooting big man. I think he had every right to be in the contest, even though there are other players that I would have picked ahead of him.
All right, fair enough. And that takes care of this year's three-point contest. Damian Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers is the winner. Well, Nick, me and you share the same sentiment about, for the last decade and a half, the three-point contest really being the highlight of the All-Star Saturday festivities or the highlight of the All-Star weekend. But it appeared that the slam dunk contest may be coming back. And we had a gentleman from the Philadelphia 76ers by the name of Mac McClung that dazzled us in the slam dunk contest. And we haven't seen anything like that in the slam dunk contest in quite a while. Here's Mac in action.
I'm worried about the guy holding the other guy. Some boy, he's going to go down. Oh,
Young fella,
and a reverse.
I have one thing to say. Welcome to the NBA. Welcome to the NBA.
Did you see Jonathan Majors?
Oh, my God.
His excitement?
Yeah, this is a major
movie star reacting like that.
Well, here he goes.
And he's putting on the handle.
Good job, man.
It's over.
Oh, my goodness.
It's over.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have witnessed a star being born tonight.
Stop it.
A star has been born tonight.
A star?
A star.
Like an NBA star?
An NBA star has been born tonight. His name will be rung throughout the country for 48 hours. Yes, indeed. Go, young fella, go. You have won me over, Matt.
I'm going to say this. Matt McClung has saved
it. Really just grateful. I had a lot of help. It wasn't, you know, just me. I had my best friends calling me every night trying to give me ideas. So it was a lot of fun out there.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA, the National Basketball Association, Turner Sports, and TNT. So Philadelphia 76ers guard Mac McClung wins this year's slam dunk contest. All right, Nick, the floor is yours. Reggie Miller said that this may have saved the slam dunk contest, and Kenny Smith said that the slam dunk contest is back. Give me your thoughts on Mac McClung and his amazing night in Salt Lake City.
So I said on the program on Friday that the one reason that I was looking out for Mac McClung is he's really a showman. I mean, I got a chance to see it in person at Las Vegas Summer League this past summer. You know, he's someone who really feeds off the crowd, who really, you know, tries to get into it, tries to show off. You know, he is a showman, and we saw him put on a show in the dunk contest on Saturday night. I mean, he threw down some of the most impressive dunks we've seen since Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine were going at it back in 2016. So, you know, I always enjoy the dunk contest. I think even in down years, I enjoy it more than significant portions of the internet, it would seem. But this year was an exceptionally fun contest, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in a minute, but I thought Trey Murphy had a really underrated performance in the dunk contest as well. And, you know, I think that Mac McClung's star turn hits a little bit less strongly if we don't have, you know, a strong challenge from Trey Murphy to, you know, get him into the finals to really force Mac McClung to sort of bring out his best dunks. But again, you know, Kenny Smith said it, a star was born. I mean, Mac McClung's following on all social media platforms has absolutely exploded since his slam dunk contest victory, and, you know, well-deserved. I mean, he really put on a show out there, and it'll be interesting to see if he comes back next year. He said, you know, in an interview after the dunk contest that he would love to come back next year if he's invited. I think it would make a ton of sense to have him back next year, you know, even if he is in the G League as he's been for much of this season. You know, he clearly spiced up the dunk contest and brought it back to a level that, you know, I don't think we've seen since Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine were running the show in the dunk contest a few years back.
Wow. I want to stay just with Mac's performance in this year's slam dunk contest. You mentioned two gentlemen that had some great performances in a slam dunk contest, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. I want to ask you, Nick, where does McClung's performance rank with Zach and Aaron, as well as with Blake Griffin, which we saw at the All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles some years back with doing the dunk over the Kia? Or what about the All-Star Weekend in New Orleans with Dwight Howard doing the Superman dunk? Or Nate Robinson and his performances in the slam dunk contest? Where does it rank, in your opinion, with Mac?
So I think that Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine put on the two best slam dunk contest performances we've ever seen. So I definitely slot Mac in behind those two. In terms of the rest of the names you brought up, I mean, I'm a sucker for Nate Robinson. So, you know, I definitely would, I'm not sure his third dunk contest win was, you know, as impressive as Mac, but definitely his first performance in the dunk contest, I would put Nate Robinson ahead of him. And then honestly, other than those three, I think Mac would be right there as the fourth best dunk contest, you know, since the sort of early NJ Dominique days. I mean, he was not just dominant in the dunk contest, but also just electric. I mean, he clearly brought the crowd into it. He brought out some dunks that we hadn't seen before. I mean, his dunk over two dudes and tapping it off the backboard between throwing it in is one of the craziest feats of athleticism we've seen in the dunk contest in a while. And, you know, his 540 to close it out, wearing his high school jersey, doing the classic Vince Carter, it's over. You know, again, Mac McClung is a born showman, and he showed all of those skills on the Saturday night slam dunk contest. So great to see him win. Definitely sort of revitalized the dunk contest in a lot of people's minds. And I'll be really excited to see what it looks like next year. You know, hopefully Mac McClung's star turn in this slam dunk contest can encourage some of the other best dunkers in the league to give it a try. I would love to see Shaedon Sharpe, who dropped out of the dunk contest, in next year's. I would love to see, you know, one of the actual all-stars on All-Star Night join the contest. I mean, Anthony Edwards would be a clear hit in the slam dunk contest if he's willing to try it. So, you know, again, I thought it was a kind of night that hopefully can, as you already brought up, you know, bring back the dunk contest a little bit, encourage some of the better dunkers in the league to give it a try, because, you know, Mac McClung's star exploded after his performance on Saturday night, and there are a lot of exceptional dunkers in the NBA who could do the exact same next year.
Rightfully so. We're going to get back to that in just a little bit, but you mentioned Trey Murphy, and Trey had some nice dunks in this slam dunk contest. Any thoughts on the other participants in the slam dunk contest? Trey Murphy from the New Orleans Pelicans, Jericho Sims from the New York Knicks, and Kenyon Martin Jr. from the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, so Kenyon Martin Jr. was heading in, and he did not have the most impressive performance. His second dunk was, I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't anything particularly special. It wasn't anything particularly inventive. So, you know, he did all right. I certainly was pretty disappointed in Jericho Sims. I mean, he basically tried to do the same dunk twice, except the second time he had an envelope with a 50 in it attached to the rim. Suffice it to say that he did not get a 50 for that particular dunk. But, I mean, especially given, you know, how high he got up on those dunks, for him to basically do the same dunks twice was pretty unfortunate. But Trey Murphy, I mean, I thought both of his first-round dunks were, you know, worthy high-score dunks. I mean, his second dunk almost got him a 50, not quite. But I thought his first dunk, you know, when he sort of, you know, brought in Jose Alvarado to fake steal and then lob it, you know, I thought that was a lot of fun. I thought that was an underrated dunk. And, you know, I think that he very much deserved to be in the finals with Mac McClung. You know, he didn't quite capture the crowd in the way that Mac McClung did, but I thought Trey Murphy had an excellent night. And, you know, certainly heading into the contest, I would have expected Kenyon Martin Jr. to do better. But instead, Trey Murphy was the one who, you know, not quite kept pace with Mac McClung in terms of putting 50s up on the board, but, you know, definitely pushed him as a solid competitor, second-place finisher in the slam dunk contest.
I want to stay just with the slam dunk contest. So we have our champion for this year, Mac McClung. You mentioned about Anthony Edwards maybe getting some of the All-Stars into the dunk contest for next year. Anthony Edwards could be a potential injury. Ja Morant, he's been asked about it, but he says he's never going to enter the dunk contest. But Ja Morant is another one of those gentlemen that exemplifies great athleticism. Who would you like to see enter next year's slam dunk contest besides Anthony Edwards?
So the biggest name that I've mentioned a couple of times, mostly just because I'm disappointed that he dropped out of the contest last minute, Shaedon Sharpe, the rookie for the Portland Trail Blazers, he has some of the craziest hops I've seen of anybody ever, honestly. I mean, he's got absolutely ridiculous top-tier athleticism, and, you know, he's thrown down some of the craziest in-game dunks we've seen this season, and I think he's someone who, you know, was the seventh pick in the last draft. You know, he's on the rise in Portland for the Trailblazers, but, you know, he's not an all-star. He's not, you know, sort of a countrywide famous name in the way that I think he could be if he puts his name into the slam dunk contest for next year. And then, you know, in terms of all-stars, Anthony Edwards was, you know, the sort of top name that I mentioned. Ja Morant, as you mentioned, would be someone who would also make a ton of sense, even though based on his public comments, it seems like it's not particularly likely that he's ever going to actually go through with it and enter the dunk contest. And then in terms of other players, you know, sort of all-star level players in the dunk contest, I mean, the main guys that I would think of, like, you know, Donovan Mitchell or Paul George back in the day, you know, he's, you know, a little bit older now, so maybe not quite dunk contest athleticism anymore, but, you know, those were two guys who've been in the dunk contest before. So outside of those guys, I mean, it would be interesting to see what Jaylen Brown could do in a dunk contest. He's definitely got the requisite athleticism for it, but really, I think if we had a field next year of Anthony Edwards, Shaedon Sharpe, Mac McClung defending his title, and then, you know, maybe Ja Morant, maybe some other top-tier player, you know, maybe even one of the rookies entering the league next year. I mean, Scoot Henderson for the G League Ignite could definitely put on a show in a dunk contest. You know, I would love to see Mac McClung back to defend his title. I would love to see Shaedon Sharpe in the contest. And then hopefully we can get Anthony Edwards or at least one all-star in the actual dunk contest on Saturday night.
All right, and that takes care of this year's slam dunk winner, Mac McClung of the Philadelphia 76ers, wowing everybody from all walks of life for winning this year's NBA All-Star Slam Dunk Contest. All right, so, Nick, the moment of truth came. It was this year's NBA All-Star Game in Salt Lake City, Utah. It was Team LeBron versus Team Giannis, and we mentioned his name earlier. From the Boston Celtics, Jason Tatum, what an amazing performance he had in this year's All-Star Game. Here's Jason in action.
Tatum dunks it down. Jason Tatum, he's the guy to watch. You start thinking about MVP candidates.
The English off the glass.
Bam Adebayo looking up front for Embiid. Mitchell is still defense. Mark that down, Candace. First defensive moment of the day. Tatum will do the same.
Was that a message? Was that a message, Reggie?
Anything you can do, the king, yeah. I can do better.
Oh, don't toy with him, Tatum. Don't toy with him.
That's what he's doing.
Don't toy with him, Tatum.
That's exactly what he's doing. It's the shoes.
31 for Tatum.
Debuting his signature shoes.
Finding Tatum. All eyes on him.
Jason Tatum is having some kind of all-star third quarter here.
Listen, he thought about it. He thought about it. I was like, nah.
Tatum, wow, a shooting clinic out here.
This will have court.
Tatum on a gift from Mitchell, lays it in.
Seeing Ja's grill.
Oh,
so,
Diamond grill, show,
you know,
grill.
Reggie tried to get fitted for it.
I did, I tried.
Couldn't get ready in time.
Tatum, a rare miss. And an offensive rebound sets up Team Giannis once again. So they're pushing this lead to 12 here.
I think he might get 50. Oh, we got the matchup.
Oh, here's your matchup. Here's your matchup. The two Celtics. How many times have they played King of the Court in Boston, right?
And the little fadeaway.
Boom.
Good.
Yeah. Brown. Okay. Here we
go. Gotta go back.
You gotta go right back. Here we go. Oh, and then he gave him a too small. He gave him a too small. That's nice, but you got to be able to finish it, though, right? They come back with some more. Going again. Come back with some more. Remember, it was Tatum who broke Brown's face, that facial fracture. Friendly fire. Brown for three. Oh! Look at him.
Too small.
Too little. Too little. One.
And I know, Reg, you said that you got to defend the three, but making threes help. Tatum is out of control tonight.
Embiid not having it. Going to put Tatum at the line. Can they get another stop? Can they get another stop?
And Giannis is out of his seat. He's worried about his GM status.
Get too close for comfort. I think they're in good shape. Tatum, he going to do the honors? He's going to drive. 55, double nickel for Jason.
I don't think there's much suspense. An all-time record, most points scored ever. The Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP trophy to the, I'm sorry, the Kobe Bryant trophy for the Kia MVP, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, we just came out. See your first three go in, keep shooting. Stay hot and just kept running. Yeah, just try to be competitive a little bit, you know, try and stay safe, but just have some fun with it and, you know, show JB he can't score on me. It means the world. You know, you think of all the legends and great players that's played in this game, and in all honesty, records are meant to be broken. So I'll hold it for as long as I can, but I'm certain somebody will come along in a couple years and try to break it.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, also Turner Sports and TNT, and you heard Jason Tatum. Of course, Commissioner Adam Silver was presenting him with the Kobe Bryant Star Game MVP Award. What a performance from Mr. Tatum. 55 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. All right, Nick, your thoughts on Jason and his performance in the All-Star Game.
Jason Tatum was lights out in the All-Star Game. And, I mean, the 55-point scoring record is one thing. He also put up 27 points in the third quarter. You know, he made 22 of his 31 shots, 10 of 18 from three-point range, and he's got the second-to-last bucket of the game on a drive to the rim, you know, after already setting the scoring record with 53, you know, on a previous possession. I mean, he was absolutely lights out, and, you know, he played the most minutes of anyone in this All-Star game for a reason. He was electric. He was leading Team Giannis alongside Donovan Mitchell and Damian Lillard to, you know, a pretty sizable lead heading into that Elam-ending fourth quarter, and then, you know, ended up taking home on a Damian Lillard three-pointer. But, again, Jason Tatum was absolutely on fire in this game. And, you know, as we said, you know, he set the record, but he broke the record. It was only set pretty recently by Anthony Davis. And, you know, he'll certainly get another chance at it next year, barring injury. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the scoring record in the All-Star game has been broken multiple times in the last decade after Wilt Chamberlain's 42 points in, I think it was the 1962 All-Star game, if I'm remembering correctly. But, you know, Wilt Chamberlain set that record in the 60s, and it stood for a long time until the last decade or so. So it'll be interesting to see how long Jason Tatum's record stands, but credit to him, he had a spectacular performance on the All-Star game.
Rightfully so. I mean, Jason Tatum was definitely the star of this year's NBA All-Star game. Pretty awesome highlights from this All-Star game. Were there any other stars, Nick, that caught your eye besides Jason in this year's All-Star game?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, Donovan Mitchell put up 40 in this game, dished out 10 assists. You know, he was a huge part as well of Team Giannis' victory. Damian Lillard, just as he capped off the three-point shooting contest with a victory, he capped off Team Giannis' game with a victory by hitting a deep three-pointer to win the game. And then in terms of the players on the Team LeBron side, I mean, you know, one of the other biggest stars in this game was Jason Tatum's teammate, Jaylen Brown, who put up 35 points and 14 rebounds in this one. You know, he was a big factor, especially in the second half, in terms of keeping Team LeBron in it. I mean, he and Jason Tatum, you know, essentially squared off against each other on a few possessions, and that was some of the most fun parts of the All-Star game night, you know, watching those two teammates go back and forth. And then Joel Embiid, also, you know, really strong performance, put up 32, you know, second leading scorer on Team LeBron. He had a very solid night as well. Unfortunately, the Sacramento Kings All-Stars did not perform at their best in this particular game. De'Aaron Fox missed his only shot attempt. Domantas Sabonis put up, you know, 6 points and, you know, turned the ball over twice against only one assist, which is not something that we've seen often, thankfully, for the Sacramento Kings this season. So, yeah, I mean, I think that Jaylen Brown and Joel Embiid were the standouts for Team LeBron. And then on Team Giannis, again, Jason Tatum was the star of the night, but Donovan Mitchell also had a spectacular 40-point performance, and Damian Lillard with 26 points, including the closing three.
You know, another thing that caught my eye in this year's All-Star game, Nick, was LeBron James. Of course, this was a sentimental one this year because on the heels of LeBron becoming the NBA's all-time scoring leader, and also it was a nice, I don't know if you had the opportunity to catch it, but on TNT's broadcast at the opening of the All-Star game, Jay-Z did a nice tribute, so to speak, or if you will, a nice talk about LeBron and his career and how he still continued to be consistent even in this age and stage in his career. And certainly he had a nice All-Star game before having to leave the game due to hurting his finger. Any thoughts on LBJ and his all-star performance this year?
Yeah, he was very solid in that first half until, as you mentioned, he had to leave with that finger injury. You know, it was unfortunate. I mean, Giannis missed the skills challenge due to his hand injury and then only played 20 seconds in this game, basically just took the opening possession for a dunk and then subbed himself out and didn't play the rest of the night. So, you know, it was unfortunate to see the two team captains miss so much of the All-Star game with injuries. You know, that's never something that you want to see on All-Star Sunday night. But, you know, we talked about it on Friday as well. Just it has been such a joy to be able to witness LeBron James's career. And, you know, the tribute that he got before the game was obviously nice. Certainly, I'm sure he was pleased to receive that tribute from Jay-Z. You know, who wouldn't be pleased to receive a tribute from Jay-Z, honestly. But, you know, with LeBron, it wasn't, you know, his best All-Star game just in terms of his performance, but it was, you know, great to see him out there for as long as he got to play. And, you know, it was nice to see him do pretty well in his 14 minutes that he got to play out there. And, you know, obviously you don't want to risk any further injury, you know, in the All-Star game. So it was unfortunate to see him have to sub out, especially since Giannis subbed out within the first 20 seconds of the game. But, you know, again, it was nice for LeBron to get that opportunity to be honored again because, you know, breaking the all-time NBA scoring record is something that should not be taken lightly by any means. So it was nice to see LeBron get credit for that once again on All-Star Night.
Let's stay with the All-Star game for a moment. Nick, there have been some criticisms of this year's All-Star game. Well, really, there's been a lot of criticism of the All-Star game in recent years in terms of the high amount of scoring that's taken place in these games, also with a lack of defense. I know it's an all-star game, and these superstars, the best of the best in the NBA, they can't get too physical because they have to get ready for the second half of the year. But the criticism that's been recent is that the games are very high-scoring, it's not enough defense, and that's what's kind of been what's currently going on right now with the all-star game. Give me your thoughts. Is it too much scoring, or do you think it's fine, all things considered, for an all-star game?
Sort of in the middle, which, you know, maybe is not the best answer to give, but my thought on it is, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense for the first three quarters to, you know, have it be a bit more of an offensive show, you know, not have guys put on their best effort on the defensive end. But, you know, something that had changed with the Elam ending in recent years is that the fourth quarters had been, you know, really competitive up until basically this year when, you know, Team Giannis had a pretty sizable advantage heading into that fourth quarter, got, you know, pretty close to the target score, and then just started heaving up 40-foot three-pointers to, you know, try and win on a spectacular highlight shot by, you know, just heaving it up from 40 feet, 50 feet. I mean, Damian Lillard took a shot from beyond half court that he hit and then took another one on the next possession that did not quite go as well. I mean, I think that, you know, it's going to be very difficult for the NBA to get players to, you know, push themselves to the absolute limit defensively in the All-Star game for the first three quarters. But, you know, we had seen really competitive All-Star games in the last few years because of the Elam ending. And I think the reason that this year stands out in particular is because it basically just ended up being Team Giannis heaving ridiculous three-pointers until one went in. So, you know, I had high hopes for the Elam ending, fixing this problem, at least for the fourth quarter. And, you know, after this year's All-Star game, it seems like maybe that wasn't quite enough. So, again, I get the sort of lack of defensive effort in the first three quarters. But, I mean, when we think about great All-Star games past, you know, teams would always lock it down in the fourth quarter. And it would be, you know, really close to max effort for these All-Star guys to sort of close out the All-Star game. And that is not really something that we saw on Sunday night's game then. That was something that I hope had been fixed by the Elam ending, so maybe the NBA has to tool with it a little bit more to sort of figure out the right solution.
All right, and I think personally, I mean, it's an all-star game. I mean, it's the best of the best in the NBA, and I think they should just, I mean, I don't think anything is wrong with it, but like you said before, maybe in the final quarter, they can tighten up the defense a little bit. But, I mean, we've seen pretty competitive all-star games over the years, but there's been some defense, but, I mean, what can you expect? But nevertheless, it's the best of the best in the NBA. And speaking of being best of the best, one of the best NBA cities for the most part this year's NBA All-Star game What were your thoughts on Salt Lake City hosting this year's game?
It's interesting. I mean, you know, they're hosting it on the 30th anniversary of the first All-Star game played in Salt Lake City. You know, it's definitely a basketball city. I mean, the Jazz have been playoff mainstays for, you know, much of the 30 years since they previously hosted the All-Star game. But it's definitely not a city that, you know, you would think of first for hosting an All-Star game, mostly just because, you know, it's the middle of February and it's not always all that warm in Salt Lake City. But certainly the weather seemed to cooperate for the most part in this All-Star weekend. And, you know, it ended up being a really fun weekend overall, especially with the electric three-point contest and Mac McClung and Trey Murphy, you know, really carrying the torch forward for the slam dunk contest. So, you know, it certainly is an interesting choice in terms of, you know, purely just the weather of it, but Salt Lake City has been a basketball mainstay for the last few decades with the Jazz being as successful as they've been. So, you know, it makes a ton of sense from the basketball history standpoint to have the All-Star game in Utah, especially given that it's the 30th anniversary of the first All-Star game played in Salt Lake City.
I want to stay just with Salt Lake City. We know, Nick, that Twitter, for better or for worse, is a platform where people express themselves. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's, let's just say it's not always good. But Shaquille O'Neal recently went on his Twitter page and said that he had never eaten so much room service in his life. And I guess what he was referring to was the weekend that was in Salt Lake City. I guess that was due to the lack of things to do, in his opinion, in Salt Lake City. And then Charles Barkley made another comment, which I will not repeat for our people that are very spiritually inclined. But give me your thoughts on Shaq and Chuck's comments on Twitter in regards to the nightlife in Salt Lake City.
It was an interesting choice by them. I mean, I have never been to Salt Lake City myself, so I can't particularly speak to the nightlife or lack thereof there. But, yeah, I mean, Charles Barkley has never exactly been someone to keep his opinions to himself. So, you know, that's not particularly surprising on that front. And Shaquille O'Neal isn't exactly someone who has frequently kept his opinions to himself either. So, you know, not surprising to see those two guys be the sort of voice of nothing much to do in Salt Lake City. But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting choice for them to make those comments during the All-Star weekend while they're in Salt Lake City. But, you know, they're obviously allowed to express their opinion. And, you know, Shaq and Chuck are two of the forefronts of NBA media coverage. So not to disparage them in any way. But I feel like being in Salt Lake City for the All-Star game, maybe that's not the time to make those comments. You know, maybe they would feel a little different if they held on to those comments for a couple more days until they were, you know, actually not in Salt Lake City anymore. But, you know, I've never been to Salt Lake City. I can't particularly speak to the nightlife or not. But, you know, if Shaq's ordering in a lot of room service, then I guess Shaq's ordering in a lot of room service. You know, that's up to him and his choice. But certainly in terms of the basketball that we saw in Salt Lake City, it was one of the more fun All-Star weekends in recent memory.
Yeah, indeed it was. And, again, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And God bless Shaq and Chuck for voicing their opinions, like you said before. And let's move ahead now, because now we've talked about this year's host, which was Salt Lake City. The baton will be tossed. Well, the baton, I should say, will be handed over to Indianapolis in 2024. And we know that Indianapolis is a basketball city. It's a sports city, but it's a basketball city first. The state of Indiana, the Hoosier state, it's a state that is in fever pitch. It is basketball frenzy. And we know that the Pacers are there. The people in Indianapolis, the people in Indiana love their basketball as well as the NBA. Any thoughts that you have for next year's All-Star game being in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just, as you mentioned, I think you hit the nail on the head. Indiana is a huge basketball state. Indianapolis is a town that is definitely going to be very excited to have All-Star Weekend in the fold. And, you know, Indianapolis is a town that's hosted, you know, NFL All-Star games. You know, there's a lot of, you know, big NASCAR events, obviously, in Indianapolis. It's a town that, you know, not only is super basketball-focused, you know, super in love with basketball, but it's also a town that has a ton of experience with these kinds of big events, you know, All-Star game type deals. So I think that Indianapolis as a city will be very well prepared for All-Star game and the All-Star weekend. And I think Indiana as a state as a whole will be incredibly excited to have the All-Star Game in Indianapolis. Again, it's a huge basketball state, and there will be a lot of Indiana fans very happy to see the All-Star Game in Indianapolis.
Absolutely so, and of course, you know, you mentioned about Indianapolis hosting Super Bowls. They have Lucas Oil Stadium, which is the home to the Indianapolis Colts, and certainly they've made some adjustments to that arena in Indiana where the Pacers play at, and of course, they've revitalized some parts of downtown Indianapolis, so that all helps as well. So we look forward to this year, the 2024 NBA All-Star Game being played in Indianapolis. Nick, I don't know if you've heard about 2025. They're saying that Los Angeles has put the bid in for the 2025 NBA All-Star Game. Do you think it's right that L.A. would win the bid, or do you possibly see San Francisco maybe getting the bid in 2025 that they've built that new arena in downtown San Francisco with the Chase Center? Or would you like to see other cities that would get in the fold for 2025?
That's interesting. Honestly, I mean, I think that Los Angeles and San Francisco Bay Area are two destinations that make a ton of sense for the All-Star Game, you know, not just for weather concerns, as I've mentioned previously, but also, I mean, you know, Los Angeles is, you know, one of the biggest cities in the country, one of the biggest cities in the world. Of course, you know, also a basketball hotbed with the Lakers and the Clippers there. So, you know, that's definitely a place would be a ton of fun to have an All-Star game. Also, you know, having a game in the Bay Area, you know, that would be nice for me. You know, it's a short drive down from Sacramento to the Bay Area, short-ish. So, you know, that'd definitely be an All-Star game pretty close to being in my backyard. But I think it's fun when the NBA, you know, holds All-Star games in locations that maybe haven't had one before. I mean, certainly if we're talking about arena revitalization, you know, I'm going to be biased on this front, obviously, but the Sacramento Kings also recently renovated their arena, and the downtown Commons area around Golden 1 Center is definitely a place that could have a ton of fun events for All-Star weekend. So, you know, with L.A. and the Bay Area, you know, those are locations where the All-Star game has been before. I think it might be nice to, you know, spread the All-Star game out a little bit. Certainly it was nice for the Salt Lake City fans to have the game back in Utah after a three-year hiatus. And, you know, also I'm sure the state of Indiana and Indianapolis will be really, really looking forward to having the All-Star game there next year. So, you know, it's hard to go wrong with either L.A. or the Bay Area for an All-Star game host in 2025, but I think it might be nice to see the game spread out to other places where it hasn't been as often. And of course, you know, my personal bias, I would be very, very happy if the All-Star game somehow ends up in Golden 1 Center.
All right, rightfully so. And that takes care of the NBA All-Star weekend, which was a solid one in Salt Lake City. And you heard it from him. He is Nick Agar-Johnson. He is the editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and also the podcast host for No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives, and also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Nick, as always, thank you so much, my man, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. What's currently going on over at No Ceilings NBA as well as Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic?
Ed, as always, thank you so much for having me on the program. It's always a ton of fun. Really happy to talk to us with you. In terms of what's going on my end, NoCeilingsNBA.com, definitely check it out if you have not already, and subscribe if you have not already. We also just did a deep dive episode that came out this morning that I did with my colleague Nathan Gribble over at No Ceilings NBA talking about the rookie rank. We went Nathan's article, volume 3 of his rookie rank, talking about, you know, top 10 rookies in this class, Nathan's honorable mentions, and then a few under-the-radar guys who have really stood out. So that podcast was a ton of fun to do. Please check that out as well if you haven't. And then, yeah, in terms of, you know, where to find me and where I work on social media and all that, hashtag basketball at #basketball on Twitter and #basketball.com. If you have any fantasy basketball needs, that is the place to go. And then Nets Republic, netsrepublic.com, and at Nets Republic on Twitter.
Awesome. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as No Ceilings NBA, hashtag basketball, Nets Republic, and any websites you want to promote, let the listeners know that as well.
Absolutely. So Nets Republic, again, netsrepublic.com and at Nets Republic on social, hashtag basketball, hashtag basketball.com, and at #basketball on social. And then No Ceilings NBA, NoCeilingsNBA.com, and at No Ceilings NBA on socials. You can find me on Twitter at NBA Johnson, and all of my written work is on those three websites, but, you know, primarily over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. So if you're a fan of the NBA draft, or if your NBA team is struggling a bit this season, then you really should go over and check us out on NoCeilingsNBA.com. We have all of your NBA draft coverage needs. So if you're a team that, you know, is looking for a piece to fill out the rotation later on in the draft, or a team that's struggling and might be looking at getting one of the top picks in this year's draft, then you can find everything you need over on NoCeilingsNBA.com.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He's Nick Agar Johnson, editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA. He's also the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and he's a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. As always, Nick, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely, Ed. Thanks so much for having me back on. Always a blast to come on the program and talk with you.
Awesome, awesome. We'll be back with more after this.
Tatum. Dunks it down, Jason Tatum. He's the guy to watch. You know, he starts thinking about MVP.
The team was off the glass.
Bam Adebayo. Looking up front for Embiid. Mitchell is still. Defense. Mark that down, Candace. First defensive moment of the day. Tatum will do the same.
Was that a message? Was that a message, Reggie?
Anything you can do, the King, I can do better.
Oh, don't toy with him, Tatum. Don't toy with him, Tatum.
That's what he's doing.
Don't toy with him, Tatum.
That's exactly what he's doing. It's the shoes.
31 for Tatum.
Debuting his signature shoes.
Finding Tatum. All eyes on him.
Jason Tatum. He's having some kind of all-star third quarter here.
Listen, he thought about it. He thought about it. I was like, nah.
Tatum, wow. A shooting clinic out here.
This will have court.
Tatum on a get from Mitchell. Lays it in.
Seeing Jaws grill.
Oh,
so,
Diamond grill. Show
you know,
grill.
Reggie tried to get fitted for it.
I did. I tried.
Didn't get ready in time.
Tatum, a rare miss. And an offensive rebound sets up Giannis once again. So they're pushing this lead to 12 here.
I think he might get 50. Oh, we got the matchup.
Oh, here's your matchup. Here's your matchup. The two Celtics. How many times have they played King in the court in Boston, right?
And a little fadeaway.
Boom. Good for Brown. Okay, here we
go. Back.
You got to go right back. Here we go. Oh, and then he gave him a too small. He gave him a too small. Oh, he lost the handle. That's right. That's nice, but you got to be able to finish it, though, right? He's going to come back for some more.
Going again.
Come back for some more.
Remember, it was Tatum who broke Brown's face, that facial fracture. Friendly fire. Brown for three.
Oh, look at him.
And I know, Reg, you said that you got to defend the three, but making threes help. Tatum is out of control tonight.
Embiid, not having it, going to put Tatum at the rim. Can they get another stop? Can they get another stop?
And Giannis is out of his seat. He's worried about his GM status.
Getting too close for comfort. I think they're in good shape. Tatum, he's going to do the honors. He's going to drive. 55, double nickel for Jason Tatum.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more. As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner.
And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
That's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick Agar-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA. And he's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Again, a big special thank you to Nick for appearing on the program as we recap the 2023 NBA All-Star Weekend. Until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.